Brothers and sisters, do you know what is our theme for this year? Anybody? Yes, Flourishing Life. Oh, so I'm glad that the animation is finally working. We'll continue our sermon series for today, which is Proverbs 1 to 9. Proverbs 1 to 9 is basically the introduction you can call it an exhortation to the entire book of Proverbs. After Proverbs 1 to 9, we will look at all the different aspects of life using Proverbs. So that will be our second series in Proverbs. Let us look at Proverbs chapter 7 today. Let me read the verses. So again, imagine the father speaking to the son, all right? My son, keep my words and store up my commands within you. Keep my commands and you will live. Guard my teachings as the apple of your eye. Bind them on your finger. So imagine wearing the Proverbs like on your like a ring. Write them on the tablet of your heart. So wear it like a necklace. Say to wisdom, you are my sister, like your first love. And to insight, you are my relative. They will keep you from the adulterous woman, from the wayward woman with her seductive words. Let us jump to verse 24. Now then, my sons, listen to me. Pay attention to what I say. Do not let your hearts turn to her ways and or stray into her path, referring to the adulterous woman and the wayward woman. Many are her victims she has brought down. Her slain are a mighty throng. Her house is a highway to grave, leading down to the chambers of death. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, Lord, we pray for your spirit to be with us. Let our heart be a good soil, that the words of the seeds of wisdom, when planted in us, will flourish and grow. Help us, O Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, this is the third sermon in a row, from chapter 5 to chapter 6, and today, chapter 7, the third sermon in a row in which we will talk about the adulterous woman, or you can call her the temptress, or you can call her the wayward woman, many names, all right? Now, there are, of course, two ways to interpret this woman. The first one is that she could be interpreted literally, so you really have such a seductress, such a woman. And I remember when Reverend Enoch was preaching on Proverbs chapter 5, he guided us to interpret it literally. So he was talking about the issue of adultery, how you should preserve your marriage, when he was preaching on Proverbs 5. That's the first one. Then last week, when Reverend Wei Kang was preaching on Proverbs chapter 6, he also shared that there could be another interpretation for this woman, which is to interpret her metaphorically as a foreign teaching that will lead men to their folly. So that is the second interpretation. So today is the third sermon on the same woman. And what I'll do is I will use both interpretations. First, I will talk about the woman literally. Then I will talk about what if we were to interpret this woman metaphorically. All right. So what is unique, since this is the third sermon, from 5 to 6 to 7, what is unique in Proverbs chapter 7 is that the father didn't just talk about, say, hey, stay away from this woman, you know, don't go near this woman and so on. But rather the father actually used a personal story, you know, the method of storytelling, telling you that like, hey, there's this story, I observed this, you know, very interesting. So let us now listen to the story, which is found in verse 6 to 23. So as I read, imagine the father is again telling the son this story. All right. So the father telling the son. Now at the window of my house, I looked down through the lattice, through the window. I saw among the simple, I noticed among the young men, a youth who had no sense. He was going down the street near her corner, walking along in the direction of her house, referring to the wayward woman. At twilight, as the day was fading, as the dark of the night set in, then out came a woman to meet him, dressed like a prostitute and with crafty intent. She was unruly, defiant. Her feet never stayed at home. Now in the street, now in the squares, at every corner she lurks, waiting. Then she took hold of him and kissed him, and with a brazen face, she said,
"Today I fulfilled my vows and have food from my fellowship offering at home. So I came out to meet you. I looked for you and have found you. I covered my bed with colored linens from Egypt. I have perfumed my bed with myrrh, aloes, and cinnamon. So come, let's drink deeply of love till morning. Let's enjoy ourselves with love. My husband is not at home. He has gone on a long journey. He took his purse filled with money and will not be home till full moon."
Oh, and with persuasive words, she led him astray. She seduced him with her smooth talk. All at once, he followed her like an ox going to the slaughter, like a deer trapped into a noose, till an arrow pierces his liver like a bird darting into a snare, little knowing that it will cost him his life. Now, the purpose of storytelling is so that the son can feel the impact of this deadly seduction. Like watching a horror movie, right? Like how, you know, in The Lord of the Rings, how Frodo slowly walks into Shelob's lair. So as you are listening, maybe you can hear the son crying out, "Get out! No! Don't listen to her! That's a trap! No! Don't go in!" Just like how the memorable scenes of a movie, you know, will be embedded in our minds, hopefully the father's dramatic story will instill this awareness in his son to look out. Look out for similar dangers, whether it is actual an evil woman or an actual evil teachings. If we were to analyze the story, you will notice that the seductress has used three deadly techniques for the kill, which I will now share with you. Now, just to make it clear, I'm not teaching you how to become a seductress, so don't go out later and say, "Oh, what do you learn in your sermon today? Oh, today I learned how to be a seductress. I learned three deadly moves." No, no. Okay. These three deadly moves is to prepare you so that you'll be warned, all right? Now, first, what is the first deadly move? To create the opportunities. The young man in the story might have thought that, oh, this was just a chance encounter with the woman. But the father has framed the story very well, telling us that, no, it is not. It is not a chance encounter. We know that the woman has been roaming around her hunting ground, right? Sometimes in the street, sometimes in the corner. She has been lurking there. Taking the initiative, she has the first deadly move, creating the opportunities to get one of these simple-minded fellows. She's well prepared, both mentally and also dressed for the kill. She knows when is a good time to strike, where is a good time, a good place to strike. And when the prey comes along, pam, she acts like a well-planned, you know, actress ready to act immediately. Step two, capturing the senses. She took hold of him and kissed him, and with that, she has his full attention. Look at how the woman described the place that she has prepared. Food for the sense of taste, perfume for the sense of smell, a luxurious bed for the sense of touch. And of course, she can see how she is dressed, and most importantly, he can hear how she has spoken, her smooth talk. This is a place that she has prepared that you will want to go, right? Now, nowadays, we have going for staycation. Wow, I want to go. Wow, 5-star hotel, very nice place. I wish I'm there. Even before the brain has said yes, the heart has already said yes. Step three, controlling the decision. Now, at this point, the man is cornered. He wants to go, but there is only one lingering concern for the man. You all know what is it? The one lingering concern is, will I be caught, right? Will I be caught? Oh, I want to go, but will I be caught? One lingering concern. And the answer from the seductress is, no, don't worry, all right? you will not be caught. Why? Because the husband is away from a long business trip. How do you know? Because he has brought a lot of money, so this business trip, he will not be back for 1 month. So with the only concern resolved, then the man followed her foolishly to his doom. 3 deadly steps. As long as she nails down these 3 deadly steps, then the woman is like a well-trained assassin, right? Against all these hapless victims. No wonder the father says, many are the victims that she has brought down. Her slain are a mighty throng. Many, many she has brought down. Sometimes when we watch movies about, you know, con artists, you know, or sometimes when we read in the news about scammers and so on, we think to ourselves, how can anyone be so silly, you know? How can anyone be so blind to miss out on all the signs of the snare? How can you not see that? That is a snare. It's a trap. How can you not know? I will argue that precisely because of such a, you know, complacency, with such a complacent mindset, this is what led many people into the snares, one after another. Among her slain are a mighty throng. Many, many are her victims. And this is why the father has to tell the story. This is why you see posters, you know, that the government has put up in many places telling people, beware, beware of these snares, beware of the love scams. Now, since I've taught you these 3 deadly moves, I will now do a trifecta analysis of these 3 steps of the woman. My recommendation is that you need 3 essential wisdom to guard against these 3 deadly steps of the seductress. Wisdom 1, prudence. We know from step 1 that the adulterous woman is busy on the prowl, always creating these opportunities. Obviously, the easiest targets will be those who are simple-minded, lah. Those who walk around without any idea of the danger signs. As we describe in Hokkien, if I'm not sure you've heard it before, giam zai lo. Anybody? Have you heard of this phrase? Giam zai lo means you walk without knowing your path. And this is why the wisdom of prudence, I feel, is the number one. This will take precedence, because if you just is able to stay clear of all these danger spots, then you will avoid even the mere possibility of these opportunities of temptations. The woman is trying to create opportunities, and your wisdom is prudence. This is similar to what Proverbs 22 says. The prudent sees danger and take refuge, but the simple-minded, will keep going and pay the penalty. Because why? Giam zai lo. You don't know what the path you're walking. The paths of the wicked are snares and pitfall, but those who preserve their life stay far away from them. So what is prudence? You may be asking, Pastor, can you give me some examples of prudence? Now, I don't have the time to go into every detail of every possible situations of danger. I must say that when I research, there are like tons of them. But I thought that it would be important to at least for me to list out some examples of prudence. These are not exhaustive, but just some advice. An example of prudence will be a simple awareness of where you are and what time is it. Just a simple step like that is important, because you know, the woman knows the place to strike, the time to strike, right? So where you are, what time is it, is key. Certain situations will leave you more vulnerable than others, such as occasions where you might get drunk, for example. Now, if you're a young woman, I would suggest at least to know about the mystery method. Anybody has know about this? First time? Really? Okay, so anyway, if you are a young woman, then just read it. You can thank me later. To be aware of the common techniques of those who call themselves pickup artists. All right? What is it right there? How to get women, beautiful women, to bed. All right? Yeah. So you might ask me, hey, Pastor, how come you know the mystery method? Are you trying to, you know, get women to bed? No lah. You look at me, you know, I don't need methods, man. No, joking. I'm also a parent, ma. I also have a teenage daughter right now. So I need to be aware of such things, right? Then I can share and so on. So if you are a parent with teenagers, daughters and so on, maybe you should know about what's going on, okay? Call the mystery method. Just one example. What if you say, hey, pastor, I'm a young man. Can I read this mystery method? Oh, yeah. Maybe you're looking for dating tips on what to do. I would say that this mystery method will be precisely an example of a seductress, a wicked teaching, right? When you look at it, it's actually a double-edged sword. Maybe you can say, oh, I can read this, I can understand female psychology a little better. But the book also introduces foreign, unbiblical concepts of relationships, much like our metaphorical, seductress. It's a danger. We need to know, but we need to be careful. So this is one example of prudence. Another example could be if you are an older adult male, then you need to know about the badger game. Anybody hear of what is the badger game? Oh, Tom, okay. Go to your cell groups and discuss prudence. A badger game will be when the victim is tricked into compromising positions in order to make them vulnerable to blackmail. So this is especially common in these days where there's a lot of cyber crimes, all right? You thought that, oh, you're safe, you're online, you're doing something, but actually maybe the camera is taking video of you, and then later they will use it for blackmail. So that is very common these days. And even the elderly is not spared, whether you are elderly woman or man. There are people who... predators out there. So I'm just listing out the examples of wisdom or prudence, but I think there are many, many, many more. And maybe you can discuss this in your cell group when you talk about the virtue of prudence. But maybe you might ask me, what if despite all my prudence, I've been looking out for all the danger signs, okay? But the seductress still successfully creates this opportunity, and I end up with a situation where I'm cornered by the seductress woman. And she has, and so what should I do? I think for that, you need wisdom number two, which is the virtue of temperance. Because step two from the woman, from the seductress, is to capture your senses, right? So for this step, you need the wisdom of temperance. I know it's common these days to say, oh, just follow your heart. But I will argue that your heart is easily swayed by your senses. Instead, the biblical wisdom is to say, lead your heart, not follow your heart. Lead your heart with discipline. In today's passage, the father says to the son, do not let your heart turn to her ways or stray into her paths. And this is similar to what the Apostle Peter tells the church, that your mind must be alert and sober. That's referring to your heart. As obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires that you had when you lived in ignorance. So temper your desires, lead your heart. Do not let it dominate you. Lastly, I want to address the third step from the seductress, which is what? Controlling the decision, right? The question to the man is, will I be caught? Remember? And the clincher from the woman is, no, don't worry, my husband is away. Don't worry, you will not be caught. But to the wise, they will not even think about this question. They wouldn't even think, will I be caught? Why? Because what is the beginning of wisdom? Anybody? The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The wise will know the fear of the Lord. So will you be caught? Even if nobody knows, who knows? God knows. Amen. There is no such thing as not getting caught, right? So there's no, that you wouldn't even think about this question, will I be caught? Because of course, God knows you'll be caught. Even if the caught husband doesn't take revenge on you, God will take vengeance against the wicked for him. So the question for the wise is never, I say again, the question for the wise is never, will you be caught or not? Because it's of course. The question for the wise is always a question of right and wrong. And for that, you need the wisdom of justice. Instead of letting the seductress take control of the question, our defense is to take control of the decision by framing the right question. And the right question is a question of right and wrong, not a question of whether you'll be caught or not, because you surely will. In Proverbs chapter 21, verse 2, it says, "A man may think his own ways are right, but the Lord is the one who weighs the heart. To do what is right and just is more acceptable to the Lord than sacrifice." In both of this, who is the judge? The Lord is the judge. Now, in my trifecta analysis, to be safe against the three deadly steps of the seductress, I've shared the three wisdom: the wisdom of prudence, the wisdom of temperance, and the wisdom of justice to counter each and every step of the seductress. I think that this wisdom will be equally effective if, in the second interpretation, the seductress, the adulterous woman, is a metaphor of foreign teachings. Teachings of folly. Maybe I'll just use one example of a teaching of folly. A very common example is secular advice to tell you to, you must look out for yourself. Okay, in this world, some people will tell you, in this world, it's every man for himself. All right, make sure you take care of yourself. In the Western context, you have the book, The Prince by Machiavelli. So, the general, as you read the book, as an example of foreign teaching, the general theme of The Prince is what? That you can, it's okay to use immoral means as long as you achieve what you want. That is what he teaches the princess, all right? If you want glory, if you want survival, then immoral means is okay as long as you get what you want. Machiavelli even views injuring enemies as a necessity. If you're going to injure, if you're going to do that to a man, then make sure it's so severe that the prince will not be in fear of revenge ever again. That's what he teaches. So this is an example of foreign teaching in the form of a seductress. And so you can imagine when I'm upset with someone, you can imagine such thoughts coming to me. Hey, make sure you look out for your own interest, right? Make sure your enemy doesn't get you. Make sure you get your enemy first. And make sure there's no way he can take revenge. These thoughts will be coming to me, these teachings will be coming to me whenever I'm upset with someone to seduce me. Just like the adulterous woman, tempting me to do something harmful to the other person first. Make sure the other person doesn't get me. Every man for himself. This is how God described sin to Cain in Genesis chapter 4. Sin is crouching at the door, lurking. Remember, the woman is lurking. Lurking, it desires to have you, but God tells Cain, make sure you rule, you overcome it, you rule over it. How do you do that? I think this three wisdom is important. The wisdom of prudence, the wisdom of temperance, the wisdom of justice. Let me first talk about the wisdom of prudence. The first wisdom of prudence first tells you that you must not be so self-centered. You shouldn't let all these thoughts have any opportunity. How do you prevent such thoughts from even creating this opportunity in you? How? I think one very prudent way of dealing with things is to make sure, for example, you make sure that things are clarified even before they can become contentious, right? So even if you think that, you're about to get upset with someone, what do you do first? You clarify the matter first. This is an act of prudence. I remember when Pastor Enoch was sharing on Proverbs chapter 5, he used the metaphor of traffic lights, right? So just before, after he he got into after he ran a traffic light and was fine, then from then on he learned prudence. He said, okay, from then on, every time I approach traffic light, I will slow down. I think this is a good metaphor, for example, of conflicts and relationships as well. Even before you see that a conflict might happen, what do? Slow down, right? Drive prudently. So whenever I work with somebody unfamiliar, I do the same. And I do not let selfish thoughts even have a chance to create this opportunity in me. But what if it still happens? The opportunity is created. What if conflict happens? Then I have to rely on the second wisdom, which is the wisdom of temperance. Sometimes when conflict happens, it feels so good, you know, your heart tells you, oh, you know, just give in to your anger, give in to your sense of, you know, self-righteousness, right? I got to get him, right? Make sure he doesn't, you know, take revenge on me. He will live to regret for crossing my path. Sometimes the anger gets to you. Sometimes the selfishness gets to you, luring you to appeal to your senses, to appeal to your heart. Oh, so good if I can take my vengeance. What should you do? Should you follow your heart? Answer is, you should lead your heart. Lead your heart. Lead your heart to choose compassion. Lead your heart to choose kindness. Lead your heart to choose forgiveness. Temper your anger. That is wisdom. And lastly, whenever I'm in the third situation, I'm tempted to say, hey, should I do this? Will I be caught? Maybe I'm tempted to do something that I thought that nobody would know. Maybe to, you know, spread a gossip about the person. By the way, do you know he like that? She like that, like that. Tell a lie. Manipulate a situation to my favor. You know, I know that Machiavelli is knocking at my door, right? Whenever I start to think to myself, this selfish thoughts luring me into this snare, what should I do? It's time to remember the third wisdom. Remember the God of justice. It's not a matter of whether I will be caught or not, but a matter of right and wrong. I need to do the right thing and not just the thing that just feels right. No, do the right thing. Let God be my vengeance and not to take my own revenge. And in doing so, I'm doing good, not just to the other person, but doing good to myself. I save my own life. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, Lord, we thank you because, Lord, you are the God of life. You want us to lead flourishing lives, to be transformed by your wisdom. Help us, O Lord, as we face all the trials of life, you give us wisdom to lead us to safety, to lead us to a flourishing life. Help us, O Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's rest.